This is Pentecost Sunday. It's 50 days after the celebration of the Passover. It's the celebration of the birth of the church. This could very well be a birthday party, and we could be wearing red party hats, for we celebrate the church in its inception. Now, throughout the Old Testament, we read about people gathering in the temple for worship. So worship did happen. But something different happened at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon a group of 120 weak followers of the faith, and they were empowered, and the church was born. Sure, there was worship before, but something different happened. The Spirit of God was with them, and they became a new entity, which changed the world, not only sharing the gospel, but ultimately changing our world, being leaders in music, in education, in medicine. The church took the lead in making our world a better place. I will be reading from John 14 today, which includes Jesus' words about the Holy Spirit and Jesus' words about how we would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then I'll refer also to that more familiar story in Acts 2, where the Spirit of God came upon those believers and all that happened thereafter. So I would like us to pray before I read the scripture, and on this day in particular, consider where you need the Holy Spirit in your life. Consider where you need strength and help and reassurance. Consider the situations you deal with, the problems you have, and on this Sunday, let's be open to the presence of the Spirit of God. So let's begin with just a moment of silence. I will pray and then read the scripture. Let us lift up our concerns and open our hearts to the presence of the Spirit of God. Let us pray. Loving God, your word promises that when we gather in your name, as we have done here, that you promise to be present. We have not always understood what exactly that means, but that we know you're here. And so we open our hearts and our minds to your presence, knowing that you know each one of us far greater than we even know ourselves. Minister to us. Speak to us. Whatever that conversation needs to be today between us and you, let us avail ourselves to your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your church. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us that the Spirit of God was coming. And on this day, we celebrate that in Jesus' name. Amen. From John 14, verses 8 through 17, hear this. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do. Because I go to the Father." Let me read that again. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is the word. Oh, sorry, more. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees me nor knows me. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I shared with the choir earlier that Debbie is always pointing out to me and giving me signs that the stoles are uneven, and it's always the right side that goes down. And I said, you know, it's because I have the name tag on this side. I think the weight pulls it down. And I shared with them the weight of this name carries a lot of weight, is what I said, yeah. Today is Pentecost Sunday. I draw first from the writings of Lloyd Ogilvie, who was a Presbyterian pastor of the First Presbyterian Church of Hollywood, California, a very vibrant congregation in Southern California. They eventually had a TV ministry, and his ministry expanded, and I watched him many, many times. But Lloyd Ogilvie writes about an occasion in which he was about to leave for a time of study. He was going to do a study leave. And he wanted to know from the congregation what their needs were, and so that he might appropriately study and prepare sermons for when he returned. And so for several weeks, he had 3x5 cards available to the congregation. And he simply said to them, "What are your deepest needs? What do you need to hear about in sermon form? Where do you struggle?" And Ogilvie responded that he was overwhelmed with the number of people who said, "I need help with applying my faith to my life." And people said, "Thank you for asking. What I need is how to get God's power, abundance into my life, because in my life I struggle." Lloyd Ogilvie also went to his television audience eventually and asked them the same question. And responses came in by mail and phone, and the responses were the same. Lloyd Ogilvie said that the responses led him to focus on this teaching for this moment, on the presence of the Holy Spirit, on the power of the Holy Spirit. Lloyd Ogilvie shared, as we have talked on Tuesdays in the Pastor's Academy, studying a book by Billy Graham on aging, about the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that sometimes when we focus on God and open ourselves, we experience the Spirit of God in ways that we perhaps never had before. What Ogilvie went on to say is this, that in his teaching, in his study, in his preparation, he finally came to the conclusion that people need to be willing to understand that God is beyond just our basic human reasoning. And he said he was careful to use the word miracle, but that miracle and power had the same root. And in looking at that word, he said, "Christians, don't be afraid to open yourselves to the supernatural presence of God. Don't be afraid to believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit in a way that truly makes a difference. Be bold." John Wesley, on the same subject, says that we need to understand that Pentecost did not just happen once. The Holy Spirit wasn't given to a group of 120 weak believers on one occasion. But Wesley points out that the Spirit of God in the same way is available to all of us. And Wesley says that on that occasion of the outflowing of the Holy Spirit, the 120 were obedient to Christ, who at the point of his ascension said to them, "Don't leave town. Go to that upper room. Go to that place and be in prayer and wait." And there they heard what sounded like a gushing, a wind, a strong wind like a storm. And they said they saw what appeared to be like flames of fire above each one of them. And they began to speak in languages other than their own. And in that time in Jewish history, people had gathered for one of the traditional feasts. And there were many non-Jewish speakers from various regions in the area who by law had to come there. And these people who spoke other languages heard God being praised in their own languages. What John Wesley says about that is that God was revealing to the church that was being born that God was going to be praised in languages all across the world, and that this is something that we could expect. How have we experienced the Holy Spirit here? Sometime back, I issued a challenge to you, as was issued to me when I was a young pastor by an older pastor, who said, "Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. When someone comes to mind in a strong way, other than a passing thought, call that person. See if there's a need." And I shared that story with you, and many of you have come back to me and said, "That works. Someone came to mind, and I called that person and discovered there was a need, and we talked about it, and I was obedient to the Spirit of God in doing that." And some also said, "Well, someone came to mind, I called them, and there was no reason for the call, but I had a nice chat with a friend." But it's the practice of being obedient to what we believe the Spirit of God is telling us. Martin Luther once said that in his last sermon at Wittenberg, a church that he was leaving because he felt that the community wasn't changing, people weren't listening, and he was giving his last sermon before leaving that community, and he shared to them the basic message. It reminds me that when Debbie and I served the ASU campus doing campus ministry with some of you who were here, there was on campus a group of the various campus ministries, and one thing that they did was have the last lecture series. And they would invite professors to come. If this was your last lecture, and you knew this was going to be the last lecture you ever gave, what would you say? And these professors would come and give amazing lectures indicating what was the most important thing. Well, Martin Luther had one of those occasions where he was leaving Wittenberg, but he wanted to leave something with the people, and he said this: two things. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and do it correctly. Secondly, utilize the fruit of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit teaches us, that Scripture points to. Utilize the fruit of the Spirit in your daily life and practice them and put them into practice. He was saying we can learn about God, we can learn all about God, but live a life that puts it into practice. And that's what happened with that young church. They lived their lives in a way that 120 people became 3,000 people in one day. For others came saying, what is going on? I don't understand. I'm hearing in my native language something about God, praising God. I don't understand. And Peter got up and preached. The same Peter who had been cowardly, silly, saying the wrong things to Jesus for 3 years, stood up and gave a clear message about what was happening that day. And 3,000 people joined the ranks of faith. In Hebrew, the word for spirit is the same word that translates wind. And the word in Hebrew that covers both those subjects is ruach. Ruach. And Ogilvy points out that ruach sounds like the wind coming into a room because it has a guttural at the beginning and a guttural at the end. Ruach sounds like wind. And he points to one thing that Peter spoke about when he spoke to everyone. He was talking from the Old Testament book of Joel and made reference to the Spirit of God. And this is what I want you to remember. When Ezekiel prophesied over the valley of dry bones where there was nothing but death, there were bones and dryness, and he prophesied over the dry bones. And in that prophecy, he said that the breath would come over those bones. And in that story, those bones then took on skin and were connected and took on life. And there was life in the valley of dry bones. The prophecy was meant for the Hebrew people, for they were discouraged. They were down. They had been living in exile under the authority of others who were not of the same culture and the same belief. And in their depression, this prophecy came to them that the breath of God restored life in the valley of dry bones. And to the exiles, the breath of God restored their vitality and purpose and understanding that God was still with them. And for us, according to John Wesley, the breath of God is what encourages us, lifts us up beyond the feelings of despair, knowing that the Holy Spirit is still with us today. And we are called to be sensitive and desirous of being in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You feel the Holy Spirit when you open up your Bibles and you read Scripture and you say, Lord, illuminate my thinking based upon your word. And we read the word and it seems to speak to our need. Or times when after one of the pastors gives a sermon and people walk out the door and say, how did you know? Were you looking in the window of my house to know what was going on in my life? How did you know? We didn't. The Spirit of God knew there was something that needed to be addressed in your life. And when we pray, it's wonderful when family members are with us, but when we pray for them when they're far away, and in our prayers we are connected, and our prayers connect to the reality of what they are experiencing. The Reverend Dr. Emmanuel McCall is a Baptist preacher in Georgia. And he tells a story about a restaurant in his community, a small town in Georgia that when you drive into town, you notice there's one restaurant with a big sign that says, this is it. That's the name of the restaurant. This is it. So anybody coming to town wondering, okay, in this community, what might be a nice place to eat, a hole in the wall with local cuisine, what would be a good, and then you see the sign, this is it, and you know where to eat. McCall says that this passage of the Holy Spirit on the church is that answer for all of us when we feel those moments of despair and confusion, to know that as Wesley said and Ogilvy said and Martin Luther said, the Spirit of God is available to us. This is it. And this is what has made the church over the years, and this is what the church is called to do and be today. Luther said, put it into practice. Let's put it into practice. For we know that instead of Willowbrook United Methodist Church, we might as well have a sign that simply says, this is it. And with that, you can be in peace, knowing that you have a purpose and that you are never alone. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.